Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. It is great to see everyone this morning. For those who do not know me, my name is Scott Dang. And it is an honor to, teach God's Word. It's really humbling to teach God's Word. And this morning I will lead us in a Bible study. Let's have a prayer before we start. Amen. Heavenly Father, God, it is so good to be up this morning, God. Thank you so very much for this beautiful day that you bless us, Father, to celebrate and to worship you, God. Thank you for giving us life, Father, for giving us health to come here this morning, Father, to worship you, to study your word, to be taught by you, God. Father, we need you so very much. We need your word every day in our lives. I pray that you open the hearts, our hearts. Help us to see what you want us to see. Help us to have convictions, God, to live our lives that is pleasing to you. Father, I pray that you will lead me as I teach this class this morning. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we've been studying the book of Judges, right? In the last couple of 4 or 5 weeks. And today, we'll continue. Last week we finished with chapter 4 and 5. This morning we'll continue with chapter 6. Okay? And do you remember the cycle of sins? Not this one. The cycle of sin. There you go. The book of Judges starts right after Joshua conquest the land, and they are in the Canaan. So Joshua drive out all their enemies, and then he died. And all the elders that were with him died, right? And so what happened? Israel served the Lord when Joshua and the elders were there. But after they died, what happened? They went back, fall into sin and idolatry. And then Israel was enslaved by the enemies. And Israel, Israel called out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them from the enemies. And then they had peace. That was the theme of the book of Judges. That, they messed up. God blessed them, right? Prosperity, peace for a long period of time. And then they forgot about God. And then God sent them the enemies to wake them up, to call them back. And then, they humble themselves. And then the judges, the judges are not the people just, work in court like we have today, right? They're spiritual, political leaders. God raised them up to lead the Israelites from the enemies. So I want to give you a quiz this morning, okay? So we're in a Bible class. I'm going to give you a quiz. Who was the first judge? Who was the first judge? Othniel, right? This was the first judge, Othniel. The Israelites were in bondage for 8 years. And they cry out to God you know, to for help to deliver them from the king of Aram, King Cushan-Rishathaim. I hope that's correct. But anyway, Judge Othniel delivered them, and then they for 40 years they had peace, and then after that they sinned. They went back to their old way of life, worship the idols, and then they cry out, and then God sent them Ehud. You guys remember him? He was the guy who stabbed the king, King Eglon, the fat king. You know, his knife was stuck in his stomach, and he couldn't take it out. Yeah, I never forget that. Okay, because it's so. Yeah. And then also Shamgar came after Ehud. Shamgar also was one of the judges, and he delivered Israel out of from the Philistines. And last week we studied Deborah, the a female prophetess. She led the Israelite from King Jabin of Canaan. Okay, and then after that, they had 40 years of peace. Okay, so that's what we've studied so far in the book of Judges. And so today we'll you know, let me ask you a question. Why do the Israelites continue to go back to their sins? Okay, this is a class. I want to encourage you to participate. Why do they continue to go back to their old ways? Anybody? Okay. All right. People did not pass down what they learned about God. Anybody else? Okay. People forget about God and step on out of their own. Joe? Perry?
I think when you're not going through the pain and the consequence, it's easy to feel like you can handle everything yourself. And so you tend to rely on yourself, and that leads you to a lot of sin. So, you know, they just tend to do what they want to do as opposed to, you know, what God's telling them.
Right. You know, it's interesting. We see the cycle of sin. When we look at that cycle of sin, what do we see there? You know, people without king, without a leader, without God, people go back to their own sin. Idolatry, right? And think about us. I mean, when we do a Bible study, I want to encourage you guys to think about yourself. We're not studying it just for intellectual knowledge. I want you to apply it to your life. Okay, think about your lives, how we compare with the Israelites. You know, what is God trying to teach us here? That without God, we will go back to our old way of life. God is our leader. And if we do not fight for our relationship with God, we will go back, just like the Israelites. You know, that's what I get from that. If we're not careful, we'll go back to the idolatry, to the sins, to the old way of life that we were in before we became Christians. You know, in Romans 7, verse 14, you know, Paul says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, so as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." See, there's a battle within us to sin. And if we don't have God and God's Spirit within us, we're going to go back to the way our sinful nature. Without God, we will mess up over and over again. That's the message God's trying to teach us here. So, that was just an introductory. Let's go to chapter 6 of Judges. Sorry, I don't have my Bible. I have to read from the computer, you know, because as you grow older, the word gets smaller in your Bible. So I found out that. So I have to, you know, make it larger, magnify it, you know. So hopefully the battery won't go out. Okay. So I understand what it's like to feel older, you know. You know, in my heart, I'm always young, but God's telling me, hey, you're getting older here, okay? Okay. All right, let's dig into God's word together here. Judges 6, verse 1. The Israelite did evil in the eyes of the Lord for 7 years. He gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, clay caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites and Amalekites and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them on their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cry out to the Lord for help. When they cry out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. I deliver you from the hand of your oppressor. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I say to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me." Okay. Again, the Israelite did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They had peace for 40 years, and then they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So what, let me ask you, again, you know, why do they worship idols? Why? Anybody? Okay, thank you. They did not drive out their enemies that God told them to wipe them out. If they don't, it will be a snare to them one day. And it happened over and over again, and they don't learn their lessons. All right? I want to show you worshiping God versus worshiping idol. Okay? On the left side, worship God. On the right side, worship idols. All right? You know, what are the benefits? On the left is a long-range benefit, right? On the right is short-range benefits. On the left, gratification, postpone. Worship the idol, immediate gratification. Unseen God, worship. Worship idol, visible idols, worship. Change life, demanded. Change life, not demanded. High ethical standards, low ethical standards. Moral required, sensuality approved. Unselfishness expected, selfishness condoned. Has limit and boundaries, has no limit, no boundaries. Now let that sink in a little bit. Do you see why people like to worship idols? It's easier. It's instant gratification. I want it now. You know, we live in a society where people want it now. You know, they want things done now. They want to, you know, or else. But worshiping God, it takes, it requires hard work. You know, it's easier to see things and worship it than seeing the invisible God. But you know, God is everywhere. It's just that sometimes we don't see Him. God is everywhere. You see the amazing things that God created? You see the beautiful trees, the birds. And when you wake up in the morning, you hear those birds singing, praising God. That's God's creation. But sometimes we fail to see that because we're so dull spiritually. You know, it takes hard work to see what God's done for our lives. So, you know, going back, that's why the Israelites, they go back, you know, to the old sin. They forgot about God. It's easier to worship idols. The idol doesn't tell them, hey, you need to change your sin. Right? The idol cannot talk. But when you follow God, you are expected to change. You're expected to change your life, to live an ethical life, a moral life. You cannot call yourself a Christian, a follower of God, when you live a sinful life and continue living in the dark. I'm sorry, I sometimes have to preach. You know, it's God's word, okay? It's a class, but I was, you know, allowed to give, you know, sometimes give some preaching. So the Midianites and, you know, and the Amalekites, they came over from the east side. You remember the Jordan? They were from the east. And so the Israelites went over to the west side of the Jordan, on the left side. Sorry, I don't have a map with me this morning. But they came over, get ready for battle. And then, you know, the Israelites, they were oppressed for 7 years. You know, whenever they plant something to crops, ready to harvest, these guys come and take everything. All the animals were taken away. You know, and they were oppressed, impoverished, the Bible said. And they couldn't take anymore. They have to cry out to the Lord. And God sent a prophet saying, hey, I told you. Didn't I tell you that to follow me and not to follow these idols? And then let's go to verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joaz, the Abizarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And then Gideon said, pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about them, about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian. And so the Lord, you know, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, hey, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He's calling Gideon. And then Gideon was upset. He said, if the Lord is with us, what's going on here? Why are we in this situation? You know, he was threshing wheat while the angel came to him. You know what threshing wheat is? They gather the wheat, right? And they have to thread it to get the shell off the wheat. And usually what they do is, they do it out in the open where the wind would blow away the shell. But he was threshing the wheat in the wine press. A wine press is it's just like a pit where they crush the grape to make wine. So he was hiding in there so that the Midianite won't come and steal his wheat. And the Lord came to him and said, "Mighty warrior." You know, what do we learn from here? You know, this guy, he's not a very brave guy, is he? He's hiding in there and trying to hide from the Midianite, but God called him mighty warrior. It's not about him, right? God called him, and you know, sometimes we don't see ourselves as mighty warriors. But God sees us as mighty warriors. Because it's God who is fighting the battle, not us. You know, and said, you know, why he said, why is this happening to us? Why are all this trouble coming to us? Do you ever feel that way? Why all this trouble coming to me? If God is with me, why is this happening to me? It's not that God is not with us when a hard time comes. It's just maybe God is trying to teach us something, just like He teaches the Israelites. You know, hardship is not bad. You know, in Hebrews verse 12, it says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Sometimes hardship is good for us. I mean, I'm not, and some of us having a lot of hard time, I'm not making it light, but hardship help us. Make us stronger. The Bible says, "No discipline seems pleasant at a time, but God wants us to help us, you know, to depend on Him and get closer to Him." When you're down, it forces you to cry out to God. But sometimes when we all, everything goes smoothly, we hardly want to think about God, right? We want to think about ourselves. Because sometimes God got to remind us, "Hey, come back." And then, let's go to verse 17. It says, getting one, you know, he said, "If you're with us, give me a sign that you're with us. If I found favor, give me a sign that you're with us." And then, you know, okay. And then God said, "Go away." And he said, Gideon said, "I will go away and prepare something for you, an offering." So he went away and he prepared a dinner, an offering for the angel. He went and slaughtered a goat. I think a goat, right? A goat, and then made some bread. You know, he didn't go to Kroger to get that, right? He didn't go to, you know, in that day, they don't have refrigerator. They have to make from scratch. He had to kill the thing. And then to cook it. And to make the bread from scratch. You know how long that takes? Probably take half a day. That's a long time, right? My point is, God is willing to wait. He said, "Go ahead, I'll wait until you return." Is it amazing? This guy, he wants to test God, see if he's real. And God said, "I'll wait." You see, God's very patient with us. God is very, very patient with us for us to change, to see. You know, he want everybody to see who he is. He's willing to wait. You know, are we patient with other people? Are we patient with our spouse? Are we patient with our children? Are we patient with the people we are helping to become Christians? Or we want to, right now. You know, the Bible said what? Love is patient, right? One of the most difficult things I think most of us, come across is patience. And especially in today's world, everything is so fast. We can't be patient. We cannot sit in traffic. It drives us nuts, right? And he said, man, I saw God. Verse 22, I saw God. I'm going to die. You know, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, when Moses asked God to see his face, God said, you can't see my face. If you see my face, you'll die. So the Hebrews, that's their belief. If they see God, they'll die. They cannot handle God. And then he thought he was dead, but God said, no, peace. You're not going to die. Verse 24, it says, Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and he called it the Lord is peace. You know, God is peace. God is peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. We all want peace in our lives, don't we? Yep. God is the source for our peace. And if we're not connected to the source, we're not going to get that peace. If you want peace, true peace, if the world wants true peace, it needs to be connected to God. So, what happened after that? Verse 27, Gideon, he took his men, about 10 guys, and then God said, okay, first of all, you need to break down these altars. Let's read verse 24 to 40. Okay, then the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and place it on this rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. And then verse 25, let's go there. That night the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Okay, Baal. What is Baal? What is the Asherah pole? Okay, Baal is an idol. Is cast in a calf or in a calf, and it represents fertility. Fertility and strength. And Asherah is also an idol, goddess of the sea. So people worship these idols. And also Gideon's father, Joash, was also worshiping this idol. Okay? And so God said, go and break down these idols and the Asherah pole. Verse 26 says, build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of the height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down after the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this? When did they when they carefully investigated, they were told Gideon, son of Joash, did it." The people of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar. Cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal is really God, he can defend himself when someone breaks down the altar." So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerubbaal that day, saying, "Let Baal contend with him." Now all the Midianites and Amalekites and other eastern people joined forces to cross over the Jordan and camp in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrite to follow him. He sent the messenger throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hands, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there's a dew only on the fleece and all around is dry, then I will know that you saved Israel by my hand, as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew." That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry and all the ground was covered with dew. Okay, so, you know, so what happened was Gideon, at nighttime, he went and broke down the altar and cut down the Asherah pole. Even though he was scared, right? I mean, he could be put to death. But he was scared. He had to do that at nighttime. Right? He's not the mighty warrior that, you know, God called him. He's still scared. I mean, I would be scared, you know, going and cut down those poles, you know, because you can be put to death for that. You know, sometimes in our lives, we can be scared to do a lot of things, right? Sometimes, when we share our faith with people, it can be intimidating. Talking to new people. I think that's not my strength, is talking to people. You know, I asked one of the brothers yesterday, "What can I do?" He told me, Danny, you know, he's helping me with my business. And I have to talk to a lot of people. And sometimes I have a fear there, you know. I don't know why, but then he asked me, "What can people do to you?" They just say no, right? The worst thing they can do is say no. When you invite people to church, what's the worst thing they can do? No. Are they going to flog you? Are they going to put you to jail? You know, sometimes we need to do things that is uncomfortable. It doesn't feel natural. But we know we need to do it. Right? So, you know, I need to overcome. I mean, I'm talking to myself here. I'm preaching to myself. That I need to overcome that. That we need to see that people out there that need God. We got to overcome our comfort. Overcome our fear. That God's Spirit is within us. Who can be against us when God is for us, right? And then Joash, his dad said, you know, was defending him. You know, Joash was worshiping Baal, but because of Gideon's act, courageous act, he influenced his dad to stand up for God. Right? You know, if Baal is able, he said, if Baal is able, is it really a God? Baal can defend himself. And so he stood up for his son. You know, we need to stand up for people. There are a lot of people out there that need help. There are a lot of people out there that need help. You know, then Proverbs 31, verse 8 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly and defend the rights of the poor and needy. There are a lot of poor and needy people out there. Not just physically, but spiritually. We need to stand up for them. We need to help them. You know, God can use Gideon, a very fearful man. You know, he made excuses. I am the weakest. I mean, our clan is the weakest. My family is the smallest. We can make all excuses. But God, think highly of us. Because when we win, what happened? Whose glory is it? It's God's. It's not ours. It's not our talent. It's not how good we look. It's not how smart we are. It's not how well we speak, right? God can do miracles to all of us, through all of us. And then in the last part of the chapter, he tests. He wants God to show, prove that he's still, that is with him before he go out to battle. He say, hey God, I want the last, you know, I want you to show me again that you're with me. Make this fleece dry and the ground wet. And God did it. Yeah. Okay, all right. That's luck. Okay. Let's do this. How about you let the ground all wet and the fleece dry. You see, God is very patient with him. And sometimes we do the same thing. We test God. God, if you bless me this, I believe in you. But God has blessed us tremendously already. And sometimes we don't see it. God has blessed us. We're sitting here, God has blessed tremendously. And whatever God gives us more, that's what I call topping. Right? It's gravy. God has blessed tremendously beyond what we can think of. And sometimes because we're not spiritually focused, we just don't see it. So that's all I'm going to teach today. I hope you got something out of it. And next week, I will continue. Okay? Thank you for coming. Please go pick up your children.